This is a True Foundations podcast. Real time, real life, real answers.
See, what happens with relativism is culture supersedes and changes truth.
True Foundations is a ministry that seeks to explain and apply biblical teaching to real life in today's ever-changing world. With a view towards building a stronger church, the teachings are focused on making Scripture work for people by encouraging them to allow the words of Jesus to change them from within.
Now we're in Galatians. This passage that I'm going to read to you is actually very difficult to find encouraging stuff in it. But I'm going to try my best. So we'll see. We're in Galatians chapter 5. Now I'm going to read from verse 5 because that's lapping it over from last time we were in Galatians. For by the Spirit we eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness from faith. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision accomplishes anything. What matters is faith working through love. You were running well. Who prevented you from obeying the truth? This persuasion did not come from him who called you. A little yeast leavens the whole lump of dough. In the Lord I have confidence in you that you will not accept any other view. But whoever it is who is troubling you will pay the penalty. Now, brothers, if I still preach circumcision, why am I still persecuted? In that case, the offense of the cross has been abolished. I wish those who are disturbing you might also get themselves castrated. You didn't know the Bible said that, did you? I think farmers still even do a bit of castrating themselves these days, don't they? It works. It changes something. It changes the nature of the beast. And in a way, it's a little bit about that. Now here's the thing. We know this is particularly about the issue of circumcision. And you've got to keep in mind this, that there's that unusual case where Paul encouraged Timothy as a grown man to be circumcised. But that was to do with some kind of cultural awareness and getting an inroad into that particular group of people. It was nothing to do whatsoever with the theological position regarding the gospel. And I think it caused him a bit of trouble. It caused him a bit of trouble because there were always people who were against him. And they were seeking to find every occasion in which they could pull him down and misrepresent what he had to say. And so there's a bit of Paul's own personal struggle here with those who were against him. When really, if they'd have known the guy, they would have realized what this was all about. Now he sets the scene for what this is all about in those few words where he says, what matters is faith working through love. That's where he's coming from. And we have to remember this because sometimes, as we looked at last time in this passage, Paul seems to be an extremist. But he's driven by love. You see, it makes a difference. Love is the foundation of what he has to teach. Now, you cannot separate love from righteousness. I think that's where a lot of people go wrong. They see love as something different from, well, you've got this righteousness thing here, and you have to do this, you have to do that, but then you've got love. And it doesn't really matter, anything goes. And we just keep loving people and patting them on the back and saying, oh, it's okay, it's not that bad really. God will sort it all out in the end. He won't hold it against you. And all this kind of weakness that is peddled, and increasingly so. But we cannot separate love from righteousness. In fact, without righteousness, I'm not convinced it really is love anyway. It's something else. It's accommodation, I think. Love is vitally anchored in to righteousness. And righteousness is all about having right relationship with God. And through right relationship with God, then it affects the way we live. We do things that are right and appropriate for those who are in Christ. So we cannot separate love from righteousness. Paul has had a lot to say about righteousness in many different of his letters. It is essential, because without righteousness, there is no salvation. And yet God, in his wonderful mercy, has provided a way of approach and reconciliation with him by taking the righteousness of Christ. And that stands for us. And when we come to him, but there has to be repentance. And there has to be faith. And so this whole issue of righteousness is then connected to faith. And we see the three coming together: faith, righteousness, love. You cannot separate them. It is at the very heart of the Christian gospel and the life that the Christian must lead. And so it is no wonder that when Paul gets misrepresented, because he's almost as if it's being accused that he's pushing circumcision. This is often the way, isn't it? When somebody stands for the truth. Like those who are not truth-based people, those who are perhaps opposed to the stance, look for some way in which they can discredit the truth teller. And that hurts. But it doesn't stop Paul either, does it? Because he presses on. He lays his foundation and he makes it clear. He's actually being persecuted for teaching the truth. And he's saying it doesn't really make sense. If I'm teaching right, if I'm teaching circumcision, you wouldn't persecute me, would you? And they wouldn't. But he's being persecuted, and that's all dismissed as if that's nothing. But he has a concern. You see, as he writes this, and he himself is under attack for his stance for the truth of the gospel, it's hard to believe that a man who loves the truth so much, has given his life for the truth of the gospel. It's hard to believe that a man who is clear in the way that he expounds the gospel and the way that he lives his life, he is a man full of the love of God. It's hard but to believe that anybody would want to stand against that. But they do. And he has a concern. He has a concern, not because he's some kind of legalist, because he's not. In other places, he's accused of not obeying the law. He can never win, of course. But he has a concern. It's based upon his love for God's people. It's based upon the fact that he wants the very best for God's people. It's based upon the fact that he does not want them to be caught up into some kind of religious thinking and legalistic bondage He wants them to be free. And now he's concerned. He's concerned that here's a group of people, and he says, you are running well. You know what that does? Is that if you are a leader of God's people, and you have taught the truth, and you have invested yourself in those people and their growth, and you see them running well, it is a cause for rejoicing. It is a great blessing. It's a delight. And then suddenly, they're not running well. It's hard to understand. Why would they not run well anymore? What's going on? Well, what's going on is that somebody has come in. Now, the way that it is worded, and it's not worded quite like this in this version, is that somebody has cut in. It's like you're in a race and somebody's cut in front of you, and then you stumble and you fall to the side. Somebody has cut in. You see it sometimes in the games, in the Olympics and things like that. And it's always a big inquiry. Somebody's cut in. They get out of the lane. They cut in on a cross. And somebody who is doing well stumbles and they've lost the race. And there's an inquiry, and so there should be. And if that is seen to be a deliberate thing, then the person that's done it, if they thought they were getting a medal, they don't. They're stripped of it. They're disqualified. That's what is happening here. Somebody is cutting in and seeking to rob these people who are running well, rob them of their ability to finish the race well and to win the prize. Now, Paul's upset about this. Of course he is. He loves the people of God. He has invested his life into them for the sake of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when he sees these false teachers, there were some false apostles around at the time, coming in, cutting in against them and teaching them other things, in this case circumcision, and robbing these people of the freedom that they were entering into. He's not happy about that. He's not pleased. And he's not afraid to say. And he must say, because it is the honor of the name of Christ that is in mind here, but it is also the reward ahead for faithful believers. It's at risk. And he explains how this happens. This is not a little thing. Okay, fine, it's one thing here. It seems to be little. It's only circumcision. Does it really matter? It's only this and it's only that. It's just one thing. Everything else is fine. But it isn't. Because it's like the yeast. You know how that works. That tiny little bit of yeast, and it causes the whole dough to rise. It permeates through. It has this remarkable ability to permeate through the whole loaf. How does that happen? I don't know, but it does. Those of you that make bread, you know all about that stuff. You put the yeast in, it's only a little drop. And suddenly that clump of dough, it rises and it becomes a loaf. And Paul is educating them here. He's saying, don't just discount something because it seems small. It might just be that that little thing will ruin everything. Sometimes yeast is used negatively, sometimes it's used positively in the scriptures. It's the principle of what it does that we're looking at. Now he's really trying to be hopeful. I don't know whether he is or not. I'm confident that you won't accept any other view. Trouble is, some of them did. Now, here's something for you to think about. These are people that have been taught the truth. They have accepted it. So when they have done that, they have made a decision, haven't they? It's not just a passive thing. It's not entered in subliminally. Right, because Paul isn't a teacher like that. He's clear. He challenges people. He puts it out there. He expects a response. He expects people to make a decision and then go with it. So there's no excuse. They've made a decision. Then somebody else comes in, cuts them off with this or that idea. And for some reason, they adopt it. And in doing that, they shipwreck their faith. Now, this is a very puzzling thing. I think Paul's puzzled by it. I find it really puzzling. Because I know so many people who have heard the truth, and for a season, they run well. Or at least so it seems. They even seem to understand it. They seem to be able to give a good account for it. And so they are. They're running well. And then something happens. Something cuts in. And then they're not running well any longer. And off they go. And it's amazing to watch them, because when they do that, it's not just a little thing. It redefines the whole of their belief system. It redefines everything that they would say regarding the gospel. It's not easy to watch. When we come to Christ and we hear the truth of the gospel, we are called to make right decisions. We are called to know the truth. We are called to make a right choice regarding the truth of the gospel and everything that that means. And so that is a big decision, isn't it? I wonder about that for some folks. Is how can they make a decision to do something that is right and good and true? And then because something cuts in, all of that counts for nothing. I think there's a character flaw in there somewhere. You know people in life, and it's not necessarily an issue of truth now. You know people in life, they make a decision, right, I'm going to do that, and off they go and they start to do it. And then something changes. They never complete it. You can't trust people like that. Oh yeah, I'll do it. Never do it. They've made a decision at one level to do, and then they don't. Or they've made a decision to do something, and they begin on the path, and then they go and do something absolutely opposite. It's troubling. Because this is not just a rare thing. It's common. Christians after Christians who seem to be running well, then something cuts in. And off they go, they've changed everything that they ever believed. And they're on a downward slope. Why would they ever do it? I can't answer that, because I don't know. It puzzles me. I think perhaps there's something deep underneath it. See, one of the things that Paul says here, why am I still persecuted? This is his own situation. But he says, in that case, the offense of the cross has been abolished. I think that underneath it all, that perhaps those people have not really understood the offense of the cross. Paul did. He gave his life for it. And one of the big decisions that a Christian has to make is to somehow connect with the offense of the cross. That the cross is not just something in history that saves us, but is real for us in the now. That we are vitally connected to the offense of the cross. And if we have made our decision in our following of Christ and taking hold of what is true, if we have made our decision of that level, at that level where we have identified with the offense of the cross, then I don't think that anything cutting in against us is strong enough to push us off balance. Because the cross is at the heart of the matter. It means everything. And perhaps these people, maybe in their mind at the time, or perhaps emotionally at the time, they went for it because, yeah, this is right, it sounds right, Paul's a good teacher, look at it, yeah, we need to do this, let's follow that way then. You see, there are some things in life that when we have decided, it is done and it is forever. And it seems to me that these folks, they had made a decision and the decision was right, but it changed their minds far too easily. There was something lacking in the level of commitment that they had made to that which was true. They had accepted truth until somehow that truth no longer facilitated what it is that they wanted from their faith. And so they changed. It's very troubling. Very troubling. And in the end, Paul found himself in his last days feeling isolated, alone, questioning. Am I the only one left? Does anybody care anymore? That's how he felt. It wasn't the full story, of course. But it can be like that, can't it? A feeling of isolation. And when he speaks at this level, there is an urgency in his voice. And he does speak in extreme terms. And the reason is, he loves much. And he does not want to see these people going down the route of ruin. And he has strong words to say, though, to those, the false apostles, the false teachers who come in and cut people off so that they follow after another way, which is not the true gospel. It's not the gospel of righteousness. It is not the gospel of the true love of God that changes people absolutely and sets them free. And because he's talking about circumcision, he says they might as well go, they might as well be emasculated. Now the use of his words are very informative for us. And because in circumcision it's only a little piece of skin. It doesn't really affect an awful lot, but emasculation does. It cuts off the life flow from generation to generation. It stops them being effective. It makes them less than. And so perhaps his words are strong, but they are appropriate, because these false teachers, that's what they're doing to the people that follow them. And in turn, they are actually accountable before God. And so they should be, because it is an issue of righteousness. It's also an issue of that pure love of God that longs to keep his people safe. So whenever we read a passage like this, we dare not just gloss over it, because perhaps it's uncomfortable, or you don't really know what's going on, or is Paul having a bad day? He's not had his coffee yet. Of course, he never drank decaffeinated, you know, Paul. You know that, don't you? He was full-blown. Well, there we are. Was he having a bad day? No, of course he wasn't. He was concerned about the people of God. And in that, he was expressing God's own heart for his people. So he speaks strongly. And so we read a passage like this, and we have to try and get into the mind of a man who is dedicated to the gospel of Jesus Christ. The honor of Christ's name is at stake. So he must be firm. He must be passionate. And the standard of life of the Christian, it's at stake. He wants them to walk in the fullness of the freedom of the gospel. And he sees that being robbed from them. So, of course, he must be passionate about it. He must speak strongly. And so must we. Because God loves us so deeply that we have the Word who became flesh and lived amongst us a perfect life and bore our sin upon the cross. How dare we compromise when God has done that for us? And so really this is a call for all Christians to choose what is right, to stand by it, and to stand by their commitment to the truth and never under any circumstances waver. Amen.
Thank you for joining us. True Foundations is headed by David J. Jones, a preacher and teacher of the Word of God. His passion is to help individual Christians discover their true identity in Christ and to learn how grace operates in their lives. Currently residing in Canada, he is taught in both North America and the UK and has listeners all over the world. If you have questions about anything you've heard today, please email us at info@truefoundations.ca. Or for more information on True Foundations resources, please visit our website at truefoundations.ca.